my name is Blake Sorensen. I am a patent attorney here in Atlanta, and I'm actually kind of excited because this is the first panel of the four or five I've been on for this track that actually is stuff I work on, which is license agreements. Most of the other stuff has been, I was on the, you know, the violent video game panel, which is interesting, and, you know, some of the criminal law stuff, which is interesting, but it's not really my area of expertise. But I deal with license agreements every day. As a lawyer, everything I say comes with a disclaimer. Nothing I am going to say today constitutes legal advice. This are simply discussion among friends. Nothing I say today is going to create any kind of attorney-client relationship. No privilege applies. Do not tell me about anything illegal you may or may not have done, please. Beyond that, thank you all for coming. I know we're up against the parade and Stan Lee, and even I didn't want to come to this panel. There's other cooler stuff to go do. So I appreciate you being here early on a Saturday morning. Do we have any other attorneys in the room? Oh, good. No one. So yeah, everything I say is absolutely correct, and you can trust it all. Hopefully, all of you realize that this is the legal issues of jailbreaking. I am not going to be doing any kind of technical demo. I have an iPad. I use iOS 4. I'm happy with it because I like things to just be easy and work. That's why I use Apple products. I know it's not the geekiest thing to do, but, you know, when I've got 7 patent applications to write over a weekend, I don't want to be fussing with dealing with the code on the back end to get it to get my email. If you are interested in the technical issues, I think they're going to be discussing that at the Hacking 201 panel, which is tomorrow? Afternoon?
Tomorrow. 101
tonight and 201 tomorrow. So that'll be more on the technical aspects. Does everyone know what jailbreaking is? Does anyone need an overview explanation? Okay, so real quickly, jailbreaking or rooting or hacking is taking a device that runs basically embedded operating system, like an iPad, a Kindle, an iPhone, an Android phone, a Windows, you know, any kind of device that's not a traditional computer that you can kind of install whatever software you want on, that runs a specific operating system from the manufacturer that's not able to generally be changed. You have to go through their mechanisms to download new applications, new software changes, etc. Jailbreaking is basically bypassing the manufacturer or publisher's controls to install your own applications or operating system. Sometimes it's because you feel that the native one is too limiting, is insecure. Sometimes it's just for fun, but it's generally something that the manufacturer does not want you to do. We could talk a little about the Kindle, but that is one where Amazon has basically said, we don't care, here's the source code, have fun. So that's kind of the general overview. From a legal perspective, what is the problem, right? You know, I bought the device. Why can't I do whatever I want with it? Well, there's this thing called the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, the DMCA, that prohibits circumvention of access controls that protect copyrighted material and prohibits providing components, advice, software, etc., for that purpose. And the operating system, the bootloaders, all the software code running on these devices is copyrighted. So any bypassing those access controls is a violation of federal law. It is punishable generally by a fine. It is a civil penalty, not a criminal one. It is up to $2,500 per device. So if you publish code that allows someone to jailbreak a device, that's your maximum punishment. For everyone who uses it, $2,500. Every 3 years, though, the Copyright Office conducts a review of sort of the technical landscape and determines if there are any valid exemptions to this particular prohibition. And in late 2008, I think, the EFF put in a request to the Registrar of Copyrights that they add jailbreaking mobile phones to the list of exemptions. And in June or July of 2010, the registrar said, okay, done. And so now it is legal to distribute and make, and I'm quoting here, computer programs that enable wireless telephone handsets to execute software applications where circumvention is accomplished for the sole purpose of enabling interoperability of such applications when they have been lawfully obtained with computer programs on the telephone handset. Now, who sees the problem with that? Telephone handset. This is not a telephone handset. Your Kindle is not a telephone handset. Your PlayStation is not a telephone handset. Your iPhone, your Android, yes, those are telephone handsets. So, you know, great, we're free and clear. Go jailbreak your iPhone. Panel done, right? No. You still got all of these little caveats in there. You know, lawfully obtained software, so you can't go running pirated software on there. If you do, bang, you're back under the scope of the prohibition, $2,500. And it hasn't been tried, but if one of the manufacturers really wanted to get sticky about it, that whole sole purpose of enabling interoperability of such applications. Well, Apple's whole argument is that jailbreaking the iPhone breaks interoperability. It damages the phone's ability to communicate with the carrier network. It damages the ability of the device to operate with the operating system, the low-level hardware integration, to integrate with to deal with the camera or the GPS, or just to communicate between applications. So if they really wanted to push it, they could bring a case saying, yeah, you jailbroke your iPhone, and yeah, there's an exemption for that, but you were not doing it to enable interoperability of applications. You were actually in violation of that prohibition or that portion of this new exemption. So it's unlikely, I think, that Apple or Google or anyone else would try that, at least with a mobile device, because, I mean, it's still going to come down to a judge or a jury to interpret that, and you know, it depends on what they get and what kind of rulings they get, but generally you're probably going to get away with it. That said, that's going to be a really expensive suit to defend. So should you jailbreak your device? Maybe. You know, I'm a lawyer, my answer is always maybe. It depends. If you are just doing it for your own education, if you're doing it for fun, no problem. Go ahead. They're probably not going to come after you. If you are doing it to try and make something that you can sell, like a new version of an operating system that will run on the Apple platform, wouldn't do it. If you're trying to make money off of their stuff, Apple's going to find a way to come after you. There are still issues even outside of the jailbreaking. If you access their copyrighted code and are using components of it and modify it, just because it's not a violation of the DMCA's anti-circumvention provisions, you still run into violations of their copyrights, and they can still bring actions against you for, you know, if you make a modified version of iOS and start distributing it, that's a violation of their copyright. It's a derivative work of their copyrighted material, and they can come after you that way. During this process, Apple argued that the bootloader and the OS are covered by valid U.S. copyrights, and so even they're basically laying the groundwork to make that argument in a future case, even though the Copyright Office rejected their arguments against making this exemption. They're still trying to make sure they've got a way to come after you. Your iPhone, and that's what bugs me sometimes about a lot of the stories that come out about this. Like, this is And I apologize, I'm a little low-tech, I didn't bring slides, but this is the headline that was on the EFF front page. U.S. declares iPhone jailbreaking legal. Well, kinda, sorta. It's a lot more complicated than that. So be aware that if you're gonna do it, it's mostly legal. And just be careful with what you're doing. Other issues with jailbreaking the phone. It's still a violation of the license agreement. The click crap license that you accept when you use an iPhone, you know, I will abide by all this stuff that I didn't read. And so that technically results in an automatic termination of rights to use the software, which means if you modify any portion of iOS, you lose the rights to use the bootloader on the device, or those portions of iOS that you didn't modify, which means that, you know, all the other stuff that Apple lets you do with their phone, like connect to the App Store, they don't have to allow that. You no longer get support, tech support, from Apple or AT&T or Verizon now. That's still perfectly fine. That's perfectly legal because it's a violation of that license agreement. And if y'all are really interested, we can go into, you know, sort of the contracts of adhesion, first level or first year law school stuff. But, you know, that put me to sleep when I was doing it. And so I'm not going to trouble you with it at 10 a.m. on a Saturday morning.
There is a question on the...
Oh, there's a question.
I bought it, so why don't I own it?
Okay, so let's see. Dare you to make your first post. Done. I bought it, so don't I own the hardware? What can I do with it? That's a good question. You own the hardware. You don't own the software. If you were to jailbreak the phone, completely wipe everything off of it, and put your own software that you coded from scratch on it, no problem. That's absolutely fine. But you do not own the software. You have a license to use the software, and that means you have to abide by it, or you lose certain rights, like using the other portions of the copyrighted code. Go ahead.
I know it's off topic, but that's the same case with like Windows and all that. That's why it's got that huge contract.
Right.
It's basically saying this isn't yours. You're just buying the ability
right.
to use it.
Yeah, I mean that's the click-wrap licenses that are basically on every piece of software. You know, I mean, if even open source comes with various licenses. This is not warranted. If you break your machine, it's not our fault. And you accept that by using this software. So don't sue us. You know, even the best software comes with that kind of license. And that's what I use that contract of adhesion. That's what a contract of adhesion is. It's a license that you accept, or any kind of contract that you accept, that you have no rights to change. It's basically, here's the license, you either sign it or accept it, or you don't use the product. You know, it's the terms came about originally. Contract of adhesion was a lot of the rent-to-own stuff, and auto dealer financing, I think, were some of the first cases. You know, if you want to buy this car and you want our financing, here's the contract. The only thing you get to negotiate is the price. So what was the next? What about game consoles like the Xbox? That was actually coming up. Xbox and PlayStation. Oh, hang on, grab the mic.
I remember words like unconscionable contract or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure how that fits in with contract of adhesion, but does it apply, or can it apply, or whatever?
Absolutely.
And can it negate that?
Unconscionable is a sort of a legal term of art that has been used to void contracts of adhesion. The problem is it's a really tough hurdle to overcome, and the only time it's really successful is in like an installment contract, where say you've got an auto payment, and your check is one penny short. And the terms say, okay, it doesn't matter how much you've already paid towards the car, your payment was short, and therefore you have to give the car back to us, and we're going to repossess it. And we keep your money and the car. So it's got to be something really draconian. Unconscionable means it must shock the conscience. It must mean, you know, something that had the person known and understood the provision, they never would have signed something like that. And unfortunately, you know, that's why all those contracts say initial here and here and here and here, which means you've read each paragraph. There have been some cases that have been better, like with arbitration provisions. That's been one of the areas that has been really common, commonly litigated in contracts of adhesion, where they bury, you know, you have no right to sue us, everything goes to the arbitrator that we bought last year, buried in a paragraph somewhere in the middle. That actually has been struck down in a few cases. That was actually the Second Life case, had an arbitration provision that was thrown out as unconscionable because they'd buried it. So now everyone has fine print, big paragraph, this will go to arbitration. Fine print. There is a possibility to get some of these licenses thrown out or these contracts thrown out, but it is a tough hurdle to overcome. They're trying to get the recording, so please wait for Mike for questions.
One other thing on that, on contracts and signing licensing or signing agreements. A lot of times when I get software or download something, there'll be a place where you have to accept.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be a contract behind it, and the contract's in a little window, and you can read about two or three or maybe four lines of that contract at one time,
mm-hmm.
which if one actually did read it, and I never have, but if one actually did read it, would make it very difficult to read. Does that make any difference?
No. Simple answer, no. There have been a number of cases about the click wrap licenses where, you know, you just click accept and they're like, well, yeah, it's in a little window because, you know, we don't want to interrupt everyone's screen, and they can go to the website and print it out, or there's usually a link to say, give me a PDF version of this. And I mean, it's right there. They can scroll through it and read it. And it's easier to read that way because it breaks it up into small manageable chunks. But yeah, no, that's not a problem. So anyway, game consoles. Not covered by the exemption. Jailbreaking them is a violation of the DMCA. That is the short answer. The expanded answer is Sony brought a case against someone in January for distributing the authorization keys that allow software to run on the PlayStation box. And we didn't get a court ruling on it, but we got an injunction. And so now he's basically prohibited, the guy is George Hotz. He's basically prohibited from ever touching a Sony product again, is what it comes down to. No fiddling, no talking about it, no distributing notes, nothing. There was probably some monetary fines paid there as well, but you know, Sony has a lot of lawyers. They have a private jet for their legal team to fly around and deal with this. Microsoft has not, as far as I know, has not brought any cases against this. They have sent some cease and desist type letters. But yeah, it's completely a violation of the license agreement to hack game consoles, and it is a violation of the DMCA, so it is subject to these statutory penalties. We got a question back here.
Yeah, just a quick question about 2 seconds ago. Which PlayStation, the console or the portable?
Either one. The exemption to the DMCA that allows circumvention of the provisions applies specifically to wireless telephone handsets. So if it's not a cell phone, and the mobile PlayStation is not a cell phone, so the exemption does not apply.
I don't know how software affects this, but Skype installed on an item like a PSP or even an iPad, it's been jailbroken, I believe. Doesn't that technically make it a cell phone, or is that getting around the definition?
It depends. It hasn't been litigated. We do not know what wireless telephone handset means until we get a judge's ruling on it, which means it's going to be really expensive for someone to defend and find out.
What about the modification of hardware in Xbox or game console?
Not covered by the Well, it depends on the purpose. It might be covered by the DMCA if you're trying to get around the access controls. If you're trying to access anything that's copyrighted, like if it gives you access, if you add hardware that gives you access to, say, the networking code, that's going to be a violation of the DMCA. It's almost certainly a violation of the license agreement, in which case, you know, you're not allowed to, you know, a violation of the hardware. Microsoft's probably not going to sue you for putting your own hard drive or, you know, your own video camera that you've figured out how to get on instead of a Kinect or whatever. They're probably not going to sue you, but they can certainly revoke your Xbox Live access. Oh, you paid for a 3-year subscription? Too bad.
Yeah, what about the new PlayStation mobile phone that's supposed to be coming out? Right.
That's going to be interesting. It's certainly going to fall under this exemption. Well, okay, it depends. It's probably going to fall under this exemption in terms of jailbreaking, but again, there's that caveat in there that if the circumvention must be done for the sole purpose of enabling interoperability of applications. And so Sony is, of the companies in this market, Sony's probably the most sue happy. And if there's any Sony reps in here, I'm sorry. I don't intend that as a defamatory remark, but, you know, we can do a count of the litigations filed against users, and I'm going to win. So yeah, I would be careful with the Sony phone handset. Again, if you're just doing it for your own personal education fun purposes, you're probably going to be all right. If you start doing YouTube videos about how to do it, you're starting to get out onto the ice. And if you start selling kits for it, yeah, you're going to be getting a letter from Kilpatrick Stockton. Are there any other questions? Oh, here we go. Is anyone pushing to have other devices besides phones added to the exemptions? I don't know if the EFF has already filed it. They had been talking about... there was actually an article on the EFF site that they filed the request to add phones to the exemptions in 2008, which was really before the tablets had taken off. And because it's like a 3-year process to go through this, they couldn't get tablets in to this last round. If they haven't already, I imagine they are going to file a request that tablets be added in the next round, which will be coming out in 2013.
Have the litigations on these devices and such, have they increased since what happened to the PSN, or has it been pretty regular all around?
I don't think there's been a huge increase. There's been some, you know, we could borrow a page from the Skeptics track and go into the conspiracy theory. There's been some talk that the PlayStation Network attack was a direct response to the suit against HOTS. No, Sony continues to kind of send cease and desist letters to people who are doing it, but I wouldn't say that it's increased or decreased since then. There's another question up here, I think.
I want to change my phone, get a new phone, an Android type, and what I was planning to do was to, I think the word is tether it, mm-hmm. and that means figure out a way to hook it to my computer,
right,
so that the computer would run through that. I know that Sprint, which we use, allows that through the normal method, but they charge extra for that. And what I'd like to do is do that without paying them extra. Is that what's meant by jailbreaking? And if so, would that be technically? I'm probably going to do it anyway, but would that be technically covered by the exemption?
Remember what I said about don't tell me about anything you're planning to do. Hypothetically, oh, I'm sorry. Nothing I say is legal advice. Hypothetically, if someone were to jailbreak, I think rooting is the term they use for Android phones to give you access to the low-level code, in order to bypass the services that they normally charge for. No, that's not what jailbreaking covers. trying to get around paying for something is absolutely not going to be covered because there's this lawful purpose provision in there. So none of the exemptions apply if you are trying to do something that is not a lawful purpose. And trying to bypass the service that they charge for is absolutely not a lawful purpose. And in fact, AT&T issued a notice earlier in August that they discovered that people were jailbreaking their iPhones and using them to tether. And those people, some of them got a little letter saying, stop doing this. And some of them discovered on their next bill that AT&T just started charging them for the service. You're already using it, so we're just going to charge you for it. You've essentially asked for it. Now, is this a good thing or a bad thing? Well, obviously, if you're trying to get away with not paying for it, it's a bad thing. The good thing is, this means that AT&T is impliedly accepting the fact that jailbroken phones are allowed on their network. So if someone comes along and they try and say, we do not allow jailbroken phones on our network, people can now say, sure you do. Here's the press release that says you do. So that's going to be, that could be an interesting fight. But in answer to your question, hypothetically, if someone were trying to get away with not paying for it, the service provider has all sorts of remedies, including closing your account, denying you access, or simply just charging you anyway if they discover you're doing it. Let's see. Is it legal to completely wipe my console and put on my own OS rather than root it, similar to cell phones? Yes. Generally, yes. As long as you have absolute legal right to the code that you're putting on it and you are not using any of their software, which means you have written all your own drivers to access all the hardware components, you have your own bootloader, you have completely wiped every piece of hardware and firmware and software from that machine, yes, that's legal. That's really tough to do. Because almost, I've not seen any example where someone has completely redone it. Because even where people are putting Linux on it, they wind up using a modified version of the Sony bootloader just to start up the machine. And so technically, that's a violation of the license, and they could come after you, and they could block your access to PlayStation Network, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Do we have any more questions out there? Yes, no, maybe? Okay. Let's see. What else did I have on my notes? Why did Apple object so strenuously to this exemption? Because they filed a huge brief with the Copyright Office. Do not allow this exemption, please. Why? Because they make money off of selling iOS. Why did they say, however? It's a violation of the license agreement. We don't need an exemption to this because the users have already agreed that they're not going to do this. So why do you need an exemption? If they're buying the software and the hardware, they're not supposed to do this anyway. So this should be a moot point. Yeah, the screw that. It's what the Copyright Office said. Furthermore, this most jailbreaking, as I said before, modifies the code that's already there, which is a violation of our copyright. It's not fair use. It's not transformative, which is one of the tenets of fair use. Well, yeah, it kind of is. It's a really weak argument. The whole idea is you're transforming the code to do something else. Furthermore, it diminishes, and this is a bit stronger argument on the against fair use, it diminishes the commercial value of iOS because people will start, they might start selling their own version, which would be in direct competition to our version. Now, the problem with that is they don't really sell iOS. It comes with the phone, and all the updates are free. So arguing that putting a new version over top of it deprives them of revenue is kind of a hard one to pull off. And finally, they went for, against the fair use, they went for kind of the scare tactic. Jailbroken phones are only used for piracy. which is, you know, sort of a commercial use. It's a way to get illegal software on there. It's a way to bypass network controls and so forth. Got a question?
With the Palm Pre, it had a built-in password that if you typed it in, it would root it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that still considered jailbreaking, or what?
If it
was built into the OS.
Yeah, if it's built in and distributed by the company, I mean, it might be considered rooting it, but it's certainly within the scope of what's allowed. I mean, it's like the Kindle. Amazon says, here's the source code, go play. They don't necessarily say, you know, it's legal and allowed, but they impliedly say, we don't care. No, what they do say is, we provide the software to you on an as-is basis without representations or warranties, yada, yada, yada. And we're not going to give you any tech support if you do it. But, you know, go have fun. So it's certainly legal. The argument that almost carried with the Copyright Office that Apple made was jailbreaking the phone allows access to the low-level cellular network functions, and so it provides an avenue of attack into the provider network. You can basically get into, and my brain is failing me, there's the low-level code that authenticates the phone onto the network and lets it talk to the cell towers. If you start messing with that, you can duplicate an ID of a device, of someone else's device on the network, and you can start getting, cloning. You can start getting their text messages or sending calls to someone else. And so that was kind of the danger that the Copyright Office paid the most attention to. And again, it was the scare tactics that Apple used was, this is something only drug dealers do. Basically what came out is, the exemption doesn't cover that, because the exemption only covers lawful purposes, lawful interoperability. If you're doing all this bad stuff to the network, then you're still in violation of the law. And someone who's going to jailbreak their phone in order to go do bad stuff to AT&T's network probably doesn't care if there's a DMCA exemption to the copyright code violations. The last argument that they made was it provides a huge burden to tech support personnel, because, someone calls up Apple or AT&T support and says, my phone stopped working, and they go through all the regular, stuff. Well, have you tried restarting? Have you tried, doing this, doing that? Reset your phone to factory settings. Oh, but it's jailbroken. Oh. You spend half an hour on the phone trying to fix this with someone, and then you find out that they're not really entitled to support anyway, because they violated the license agreement. And the Copyright Office basically said, that's your problem. You should put into your place, have you modified the OS in any way? If so, you're in violation of the license agreement, and we're not obligated to give you any tech support. And just make that as part of your procedures. Oh, two new questions. Let's see. Android handset manufacturers have almost all essentially said they don't mind rooting. HTC, HP, and even Motorola gave in. Is that an opportunity for business models supporting these now unsupported phones, similar to how open source... Companies. Okay, open source companies support instead of selling. Possibly. It depends. The handset manufacturers may have said that they don't mind rooting the phones. And I know, I'm an iPhone user, I'm an Apple geek, and I have to listen to all my friends over at Google talk about how Android's great, it's an open platform, it's wonderful, and you're stuck with just what Apple wants to give you. And that's why Google said that all of the new cool services that they're going to be introducing won't be available to people who root their phones. They actually just announced that they're about to start the YouTube video rental service, and if they detect a root on the phone, no access. So, yeah, they're going to start trying to do like the Hulu Plus model, where they're renting shows, or the Amazon streaming model, where they rent shows through the YouTube service. Google the manufacturer may say it's okay, but Google still is the one that's licensing the Android software. And so rooting it is a violation of that license, and Google is free to deny you access to the legitimate Android app store, to tech support, to warranty support, to any services that they themselves are providing. That's one area where, say, Apple is ahead of them legally. They're doing the software and the hardware, so they don't have to coordinate how they feel or how they want to prohibit or prevent these sorts of kits. They've got one company that's doing all this, and even if the business units within the company are debating it, they still have one single policy, whereas Google licenses the software, and then all the hardware manufacturers have their own policies, and so it turns into kind of a mess if someone wants to go after a user for violations of the license. Let's see. Again, that's most of what I wanted to cover. We talked about the Sony case, the injunction about, doing anything with a Sony product because he published these authentication keys. The possible issues, even with the exemption to the DMCA, is that it's still going to be expensive to conduct a defense if they decide to come after you, even if you win. And again, that whole exemption covers the specific interoperability purposes, so that's an avenue they may use to attack you. And even if it's perfectly legal, it's still a license violation, so you're ineligible to use their sanctioned apps to warranty support. And again, it only applies to wireless telecommunications devices, so tablets, Kindles, PlayStations, Xbox are not covered. One thing that might come up is a judge might be willing to extend that particular rule to a tablet because it's so close, but it hasn't been tested, so we don't know. And that's pretty much what I had. So, questions?
Anoya, you said that tablets aren't generally considered the same thing as mobile phones, but they do use a cellular data network connection. So is there any sort of opportunity through that angle, or is that...
The thing. The term wireless telecommunication device has not been tested in court. So it's pretty clear that cell phones were what was intended. I've got an iPad that doesn't have a cellular radio in it, so that's probably not covered. An iPad that does have a cellular radio in it might be, but it doesn't do phone calls, so it might not be. Again, it's going to be really expensive for someone to test and defend. Any other questions? All right. Well, that's all I have, so thank you all for coming.